Welcome back. Jason Matera here with you. Oh, man, I have something I want to talk about now, but I'm looking. I should not tune into MSNBC. I really shouldn't. Chuck Todd is saying our democracy is in peril and under. It's dangerously under attack. Why? Because Donald Trump solicited an investigation from China and the Ukrainians. Oh, yeah, the democracy is in big danger, guys. Big danger. Because the Biden's corruption is being... It's not the corruption that is endangering democracy. No, no, not the corruption, not the cronyism, the graft, the revolving door, the nepotism. That's not... No, no, that's not endangering democracy and eroding public trust in the system. No, Donald Trump trying to bring sunlight to the corruption. Yeah, that's endangering. That's endangering the democracy. But, you know, we have the rest of the show to get to that. We did want to tell you what is trending here around town.
What's trending in Seattle?
In Seattle. So we were supposed to get to this yesterday, right, Peyton? The story of math is racist.
Yeah, this is...
Because Rance on Tuesday said that he was going to talk about it Wednesday. But I was in on Wednesday, and we never talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, we briefed over it.
So we wanted to get into a little more detail. I know he has a write-up on it, mynorthwest.com, which is both disturbing and informative. So, there is an Ethnic Studies Advisory Committee. Right there is a red flag. There's an Ethnic Studies Advisory Committee that advises the Seattle Public School District. All the school districts. For curricula. Ethnic Studies Advisory Committee. It's important. I wanted to touch on this because remember we're hearing constantly that it is in Donald Trump's America where racism is on the rise, white supremacy and just this racial antagonism. But I want to be clear, and we hear lots about structural racism, systemic racism, all these buzzwords. And yet if you look structurally, that is what is actually administered on an academic level, on a governmental level, there is value assigned to race. But it's not, as we hear from those in the media and those on the political left. So you have this Ethnic Studies Advisory Committee. They tackle four themes: power and oppression and the history of resistance and liberation. How does this relate to math? It's a good question. Apparently, and this was news to me, this may be news to you, Peyton, but there's a belief that Western math is viewed as the only legitimate expression of math identity. And that Western math is, quote, used to disenfranchise people and communities of color and erases the historical contributions of people of color and communities of color. Now, Peyton, I know I'm not hip onto what's, you know, cool these days with the younger millennials. I'm one of the older millennials. But I didn't know there was a difference. Like, there's Western math. Is there Asian math? Is there African math? Is there Arab math? I didn't know that there was different forms of math.
Yeah, I haven't learned any other types.
I mean, but even in when you're in the Middle East or when you're in Asia, are they teaching a different math than what we learn here? Is there a different math that I'm just unaware of?
If there is, I'm unaware of it too.
Okay. I just want to be clear that Western math, I just must have missed it. I thought math was the concepts of math are universal. But, you know, I'm a conservative Christian, so I just may be ignorant on these matters. Right? Cisgendered. Male. Oh, knocks against me. So the framework from the Ethnic Studies Advisory Committee says, where does power and oppression show up in our math experiences? They're actually proposing to teach this in school, not arithmetic, not to count, not multiplication, not geometry, algebra, none of that. calculus, pre-calc, it's... Where does power and oppression show up in our math experiences? I don't know. Who gets to say if an answer is right? Who gets... Call me old-fashioned, but the teacher, perhaps? The teacher gets to say what's right or not? Because, you know, you go there and you learn from the teacher. Presumably, the teacher is well-informed in these matters, studied these matters. If it's math, you know, I know if you're in the liberal arts, it's a little more subjective. But in math, you know, if somebody says 2 plus 2 equals 5, who's to say it's wrong? The textbook and the teacher. And the innate qualities of mathematics. That's who can say it's wrong. Oh, it's 2 plus 2 equals 5. Oh, Jason, that's just Western math. That's just what, you know, you're oppressing people. You're subjugating people. Goes on to say this proposed curriculum. Who is smart? Who is not smart? I don't know. Maybe the person who can't answer 2 plus 2 is... I don't want to say they're not smart. I'm not trying to demean people, but they need to learn. Who is doing the oppressing? You know, the left is obsessed with oppression. It is the politics of victimhood. This is diversity politics, by the way. It's never about having multiple ethnicities or diverse races. It's all about who's oppressing who. Usually the white man is oppressing someone. In this case, he's oppressing someone when it comes to mathematics, out of all things. And this type of postmodernist wild thinking, where you deconstruct the ethos of a culture, in this case, Western culture, is now seeping into the hard sciences. It's seeping into the medical community, where we're taught, well, maybe there are just different approaches to scientific inquiry and different approaches to mathematics and different approaches to medical examinations and engineering. Well, you know what? The foundation, there are no different approaches. You know what? When they're building a skyscraper in Dubai, guess what? They're using the same mathematical foundation and calculations when they're building a skyscraper here in Seattle. When Google has another campus going up, or Amazon has one going up in Bellevue. You know what? They're using the same foundation. It's not Western math. It's not Asian math. It's not Arab math. It's not African math. It's not Russian math. It's math. But when you're so consumed with identity politics, when you're so consumed with a narrative of one group perennially oppressing another, then you are reduced to the absurd proposition that math can be racist. By the way, when these lunatics who put together this type of curriculum flying an airplane, you know, when an airplane is constructed, there's mathematical calculation. Is that Western math? Huh? Because if it is, thank God it's Western math. Because the plane goes up and doesn't crash down the vast majority of the time, unless something goes wrong. See, these types of postmodernist critiques, they make leftists, they make progressives all, you know, all warm on the inside. So they're contributing intellectually to society. But you know what? They're not contributing anything. When they go over a bridge, when they get in an airplane, they're hoping that the person flying the airplane or the engineer, they don't care if the person flying the airplane, they don't care if the person who engineered the airplane was part of a marginalized group or was a person of color. They don't care. Deep down, they don't care. They just want to make sure it's operational. They want to make sure it adheres to the laws of mathematics and logic and all the physics that go into constructing these type of aircraft or buildings, whatever it is. It's only in the context of academia, and in this case, this is just rampant indoctrination. If this gets adopted, and it probably will because it's the Seattle public school system, it will probably be adopted in the name of diversity, in the name of tolerance. But you know what? This is also the bigotry of low expectations. It's telling kids who are Latino, who are black, who are part of some tribe, that they can learn a different mathematics. Guess what? In the real world, there's no such thing as a different mathematics. It's like telling someone there's a different form of the English language. No, there are actually rules and grammar set in place. There are logical processions and coherence that need to be adhered to if you're going to operate successfully in the real world, if you're going to get good grades. But, oh, you know, we got to lower the expectations, lower the bar, because Western mathematics is used to oppress people. The whole thing is so absurd. You know what? That's why my kids are never going to set foot. They're only two. But they will never set foot in the Seattle public school system. Never. I will do as much sacrificing on my financial end to make sure they're going to a good private school. And there are some phenomenal ones in the King County area. My kid is not going to go to Seattle Public School where they're going to learn that math is... Daddy, did you know that we did arithmetic today and I feel guilty because it's racist? Yanked. You're out of the school, kid. And really, parents, I'm sorry, but even those who consider themselves progressive, you have to be tuned in, dialed into what your kids are learning, because even you know that this is crazy talk. Even you know this is not the real world. Even you know that arithmetic, no matter how many buzzwords and chic programming and prattling on and on is put into these type of proposals, even you know it's not going to advance your kid. They're going to be mired in stupidity in the name of promoting diversity. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Ranch. We got more to get to on what's trending. I'm getting some pretty funny memes coming through me on the text line, which you can do. 800-465-8770. Well, one points out, maybe you can look this up for me, Peyton. We're getting a text saying, isn't algebra Middle Eastern? I believe that's correct. But look at the roots of it. Many of these concepts were around long before America, for sure, and even the advent of Western civilization, and there was cultural appropriation that was taking place.
Yes, the word algebra is Arabic.
Is actually Arabic. Yeah. So do the Arabs know that they are engaging in white racism when they use algebra formulas? Do they know?
I don't know. We might have to get one on.
We may have to get a
professional.
Get a professional Arab spokesman. Actually, you know what? I can even ask my... I'm Lebanese on my mother's side. So I can get one of the relatives on. Hey, I can call my grandma. Hey, Tati, did you know that we Arabs were engaging in white racism by promoting algebra? Did you know that? Let's see what she says. Okay, I know, I can talk. It's depressing to talk about the Seattle public school system. But I wanted to do that because it sets up the next story in What's Trending.
What's Trending? National.
National. There was a lawsuit filed against Harvard by a group called Students for Fair Admissions. And the plaintiffs were Asian Americans who say that Harvard discriminates against Asians for no other reason than they're Asian. And the Students for a Fair Admission had a statistician that provided actual hard data on this. And it was pretty jaw-dropping. The statistician said that an Asian American male who had a 25% chance of admission would have a 32% chance of admission if he were white, a 77% chance of admission if he were Hispanic, and a whopping 95% chance of admission if he were black. So the same Asian applicant, if on the application you just remove the guy's name and background, and put and his race, you switched races just from Asian to black. Asian 25% chance of admission, black 95% chance of admission. That's clearly discrimination. Any lexical definition, normal use of the word discrimination would fit right there. So these students sued. Well, a Harvard judge ruled against the Asian group, saying that this type of discrimination, well, is okay. Why? Because it's only a racial preference. And you know what? Society is just biased against minority groups. And therefore, we need this type of racial preference to undo past wrongs. In fact, the judge quoted in her decision, this is right from the judge, she said, at Harvard and elsewhere, we hope that one day we can move us to the point where we see that race is a fact, but not the defining fact and not the fact that tells us what is important. But we are not there yet. Until we are, race-conscious admissions programs that survive strict scrutiny will have an important place in society and help us ensure that colleges and universities can offer a diverse atmosphere that fosters learning, improves scholarship, encourages mutual respect and understanding. Yeah, there's nothing like encouraging mutual respect and understanding than to say, if you're Asian, you got knocked off points just for being Asian. By the way, I thought Asians were a minority group. I mean, by the, they fit the definition of minority. They're not the majority. They're not even close to it. This is a legitimate minority group that in the name of social justice is being denied admission to one of the nation's more elite universities because of nothing more than their race. Is, if that's not racism, what is? When you assign this type of value to a person based not on their characteristics, and it's even more racist, they knock Asians for their personality. When you apply to these schools now, you're given a personality like test, and you're scored on your personality. If you're likable, if you're helpful, if you're courageous, your kindness, your positive personality attributes. These are all very subjective, as we know. And the Asian Americans are knocked on all of them. They're given low personal scores. And you imagine the poor Asian groups. They're thinking, oh, we just have to work our derrieres off, get good grades in school, score highly on these standardized tests, and we'll be admitted. And instead, they are knocked down pretty far in their personality scores because in the name of diversity. Now, isn't that something wrong? If in the name of diversity, you have to discriminate against other groups, and in the name of diversity, we're going to be race conscious and have racial preferences, so one day we don't have to have racial preferences? Right? Well, we don't want racial preferences in the long term, but we need racial preferences right now. Well, how long? How actual Jim Crow, actual systemic discrimination from local governments, largely in the South, have been eradicated more than 50 years now. And what do Asians have to do with Jim Crow? Why are they being knocked? The group of students that have come in now, certainly now in 2019, have nothing to do with Jim Crow. Have nothing to do with past societal injustices. And yet they are being held accountable, or not even held, punished for the sins that someone in their lineage may have not even, most likely have not even taken part of. We hear this with, you know, with, we have the math is racist. We have a Harvard judge. By the way, this group, Students for Fair Admissions, is appealing this federally. This is a case that will probably end up in the Supreme Court. And hopefully the Supreme Court, once and for all, bars discrimination on the basis of race. Can't have it both ways. You can't say that Donald Trump is stoking racial attitudes in America. You can't say that, oh my gosh, we do have structural racism. We have structural racism clearly against Asians at elite universities. We have structural preferences in favor of the so-called marginalized group. They are privileged based on their race and their status. Their individual identity and agency and characteristics don't matter. They're just lumped in a box. Oh, you're black. Oh, you're Latino. Oh, you know, I'm gonna put you in the needing help category. You're Asian. Clearly, you don't need. You need. In fact, we're gonna knock you down because you're Asian. You're white. Oh, you must be an oppressor. If the left really wanted to eradicate structural racism, they would take a deep and contemplative look at their own policies and their own ideology that has fostered such racial divisiveness over the decades. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rants. A lot to get to still coming up. We have the big local coming up, and one DUI driver makes it easy for the cops. Wait till you hear this story. If you want to get on the text line, 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770.
Snow Quality, Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rants Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle. Yo.
And the Big Local is brought to you by Dr. Sean Keller and Smiles by Design. My name is Jason Matera, having the privilege to guest host for Jason Rants as while he is gone. First up in the Big Local, this is from Como News. Oh, man, you can't make this up. A sergeant was on patrol around 4 a.m., so early this morning. He noticed a man driving an SUV the wrong way down a one-way street. First red flag. So the officer pulled up behind this SUV and was about to turn his sirens on. Right, about to turn the lights on. When the driver must have caught wind, it was a cop, but made an abrupt right-hand turn. And he made an abrupt right-hand turn right into the Hoquiam Police Department parking lot. Yeah, pulls right into the police department. The driver drove toward the restricted area in the rear of the building as the officer turned on his lights. The driver, this Hoquiam driver, was slow to stop and had difficulty putting the vehicle into park. So, probably under the influence of something. According to the police report, he initially rolled down the rear driver's side window when he was approached. The officer said the driver exhibited obvious signs of impairment and had the difficulty following commands to produce his registration and insurance. When asked if he had been drinking, the driver said not only had he not been drinking, he said he hadn't been driving. He said he wasn't drinking or driving. Must have teleported to the police parking lot. He resisted arrest and was finally arrested. There was a warrant to draw blood and confirm that this was indeed a DUI. So not only will he be arrested on DUI charges, but he will likely face charges, according to Como, on resisting arrest once the blood work returns. There we have it. Next up in the Big Local, this is from the Bellevue Reporter. Free printing costs King County libraries $1 million each year. Free, don't you love that? These headlines are... There's not... Milton Friedman once said, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Yeah, so free printing costs King County... Oh, it's not free if it costs someone. We'll leave that aside. So starting early next year, apparently you can just go into libraries and print off black and white pages and color pages at no cost. Yeah. I didn't know this. To be fair, I stopped going to libraries when they became hangouts for vagrants who want to browse through porn on the public computers in the libraries. So when they started to become hangouts for junkies who wanted to get their porn addiction fed, I said, yeah, maybe I won't go to the libraries anymore. When I was going to the libraries and had to print something, I would always, it was a minimal fee. It was like 5 or 10 cents per page or something like that. 25 cents maybe. It wasn't much, but you still had to pay. Apparently, well, everything had to be free. And now King County spends $1 million a year on just printing costs alone. So now they have this novel idea that if a person wants to print something in the library, they have to pay for it. Oh, whoa. You mean taxpayers should not absorb the cost? That must be racist. Must be targeting marginalized communities here. Someone is going to say that, by the way. Once this proposal gets underway to make people pay for using a printer, they'll try to make it into some social justice argument. But listen, $1 million a year. Or you can save taxpayer money. You can save taxpayer money, and if you need to print something from the library, you pay for it. Although I would imagine that... Do you have a printer at home, by the way, Peyton?
No, not a shot.
You don't have a printer. Okay.
So many things are digital in today's day and age.
That's what I was... I mean, listen, I print out my stories. You looked at me like I was just not up to speed on how things go. I sent all the list of stories, and Peyton's like, what? You print them out? No, we don't print them out over here. I guess I'm old school like that, but you're right. Most people use... Everything's in the cloud.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is digitized. So the fact that people are still going to libraries to print stuff out seems and don't have access to printers. Anyway.
The amount of things even in like college that I had to print, you know, over my five years in Ellensburg going to school, I probably printed maybe 6 total papers.
That's it?
Everything's turned in online.
Oh,
it's great.
Oh, man. That would have made it easier.
So easy.
Would have made it easier.
Show notes? I would print out show notes. You're right there. Digital, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to sift through them when you're trying to be quick. Having a hard copy when you're doing show notes, that's the way to go.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I'll pay for it. If people want to print it out, you pay for it. But no such thing as a free lunch. Next up in the Big Local, this is from the Herald out in Everett. Snohomish water supply flows again after teens illicit swim.
This was a great story.
That was. The new security system has... So wait, part of the city's water supply is back on tap, the Herald notes. A month after teens took an unauthorized dip. So, yeah, the new security system has also been set up at the Snohomish Water Tower following the break-in. So you have five teenagers cut through the locks and made their... So they knew they were doing something that was illicit. They knew they were doing something that was wrong. They're cutting through locks and made their way to the water tank, and they decided, well, this is the drinking water. Let's take a swim in it. The reservoir contains part of the city's drinking supply. After the breach came to light, the tower was taken out of service, thankfully. It has been disinfected, and tests show that the water is now safe to drink, said the city administrator. The young people film themselves, of course, because young people have to film themselves doing everything. So they film themselves climbing up the tank. There was no ambiguity of who was on the video. Jumping through the hatch into the water. It was apparently during the daytime. It wasn't even at night. And then they uploaded the footage just to memorialize it. They uploaded the footage to YouTube. Police found out once the video began to circulate online. So the police may have never even known. This typifies this generation. Everything has to be live streamed. Everything has to be documented. No one is like actually present in the moment. To film it, and then post it. We want the likes, we want the views. These idiots, they break in, film their behavior, upload it to YouTube. Cops have no idea what's going on. There was no security system at the time, which seems strange, but there's no security system, no security cameras. They get busted because these morons upload the video to YouTube. Serves them right. Although, I must say, Peyton, in their defense, when I was 17, I probably did stupid stuff as well. Thankfully, YouTube was not around. Social media was not around because, as a 17-year-old, you don't think the same way when you're not an adult.
See, and when Jason and I covered this story when it broke, 2 weeks ago, we thought of the question, at what age were you thinking, oh, man, that would be a great idea? I think me and Jason came to the terms, a 7-year-old would be like, wow, it'd be so fun to go swim in that. By the time you hit your teens, you probably should know not to jump in a big water reservoir. But I am, there's a difference between the teenagers that still are thinking that way, hey, we need to go jump in this thing, and the teenagers who are who actually do it, who have the guts to go and jump in it. I kind of tip my hats to them. Yeah, you're right that videotaping it was absolutely stupid and posting it.
Oh, posting it to YouTube.
If they didn't do that, they probably wouldn't have got caught.
I would have got away with it. Scot-free.
But my goodness, these kids had guts.
I was expecting, when I'm reading the story, I'm expecting the skinny dipping to happen. I thought that was why they had to disinfect the... Thankfully that...
Yeah, those kids, you don't know what they were walking through, and then they jumped
But serves them right. Now the county prosecutor is wondering if they should give him the bill for the cleanup, which I think they should. They should make them pay it off, even if they have to pay it off in the form of community hours or something. There needs to be some. You teach them, right? Just a little slap on the wrist. I'm not saying you give these kids a record or anything. No, but a little slap on the wrist and just helps teach responsibility because they are 17. I mean, they're almost adults. And there you have it. So don't go swimming in the water supply. I guess that's the moral of the story.
If that's the one thing our listeners take away from you guest hosting here, you were productive.
When? If the one item that is remembered is not to cut through locks and go diving in to your local water supply and tainting and infecting the water, then I consider that my time with you, KTTH audience, a success.
That's a great public service.
There we go. Public service. There you go. That's right. All right, Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rantz, providing you a public service. Free PSAs throughout the entire show. I'm going to get to this Robert De Niro audio. Him just losing his mind. He's involved in a lawsuit now. Past assistant is claiming discrimination. And we are back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rantz. With the newbie producer, Peyton. How long have you been on, Peyton, now?
5 weeks. This is probably week six.
All right. Breaking in there?
Yeah. Making my way.
Okay. Are you going to be doing any burger reviews?
Tom handled all that, and the best burger place in Seattle got closed. So
I'm kind of closed?
Henry's Tavern. Went out of business. They filed for bankruptcy. And Henry's Tavern is no more. And to me, that was the place to go get a burger in Seattle.
Okay. And was this voted on by just Tom, or was it you opened it up to the listeners?
There was a fan vote, and there was Tom's best. Tom made a bracket.
Okay.
And then at the end, he also had his own vote. But Henry's Tavern, there was nothing like it. That was the best place to get a burger.
What did the fans vote?
I think Dick's.
Okay, that's
probably
legit.
That's legit.
I'm heading. I'm heading to after the show.
Are you? Lucky you.
Oh my god! My wife was requesting the burgers, and
so I found the bracket. Dick's beat Burger Master in the final. So Henry's didn't even make it.
I've never had a burger at Burger Master.
I never have either. Heard great things though. Little Woody's, though, made it to the semifinals. Have you had Little Woody's?
I haven't had Little Woody's.
Little Woody's is great. Oh, incredible.
I like You Need a Burger.
Where's that at?
It's in Fremont.
Oh, I see. That made it as a wild card and lost to Rain City Burgers in the first round.
Okay. Interesting. So, no burger reviews from you. What are you going to do then? What's going to be the producer, Peyton?
Rance has kind of given me a little sports leeway. I'm bringing sports to the airwaves. Okay. You know, that's what my whole background is. If I were to do food.
Now, when you say you're bringing sports, we all both know that soccer is not a real sport. So are you going to be talking soccer?
I don't talk soccer, and I prevent Rance from talking about soccer because that's policy. Rance is not allowed to talk about soccer.
But, I'm just playing. Obviously, but I come soccer in, is a real sport. Those are, oh, my God, how dare he.
I come in and I talk football. I do some Hawks recaps. Hawks game on tonight.
That's right.
5:20, Thursday Night Football, hosting the L.A. Rams.
So traffic is going to be a joyous occasion.
Oh, yeah,
getting home from work.
If they're coming into the city, people are, you know, they're asking for trouble. But us, I'm leaving the city. I'm going back over to Newcastle. So my road is going to be a cruise.
Yes, yes. All right, so someone who's not on a cruise right now is a little in tumultuous waters. Robert De Niro being sued. Now, De Niro is like some, he thinks. I don't know what these actors think. They the star in a few celebrated movies. People know him for a category, a character, and they think they can just spout off knowledgeably about politics. They have no idea what they're talking about. I mean, Robert De Niro was asked, invited on CNN, to give his thoughts about Donald Trump and impeachment. Who the hell cares what Robert De Niro thinks? Anyway, Robert De Niro may have his hands tied at the moment. He may be distracted because his former assistant is suing him. From TMZ, for abusive and assigning her to stereotypically female duties. Oh, you know, how enlightened of this progressive thought leader in Hollywood. He was verbally abusive. He would talk about his Viagra prescription around her, apparently, and asked her to imagine him on the toilet. Sounds like a sicko to me. Apparently, he was also known to urinate while they were on the phone. So he'd. By the way, maybe he didn't know about the mute button on his iPhone. That could be it. Could he? Maybe he didn't know about the mute button. He's thinking he's having you can have a conversation, and you know we've all been there before. You hit the mute button, and they never know you're in the bathroom. De Niro's old man. What is he? 70s? Maybe he may not know about the mute button. Anywho. He was the assistant, former assistant, released this voicemail. Now, I want you to listen to this as part of the lawsuit. Imagine working for this lunatic.
Jay, you live in Spain, and you f***ing upset with me because you tell me how nice you have it, your life over there, and you f***ing don't answer my call? How dare you? You're about to be fired. You're f***ing history. How dare you? With all the good things you do, this is Christmas this. How dare you disrespect me? How much you did? You want another position? You want another position? Then change one another position. Go off somewhere. But don't get angry with me because I'm pissed off because I didn't get a simple thing that I need right now here out in California where I'm here for less than 24 hours. You gotta be kidding me, you little brat. You. So quit whatever you want. God damn it. How could you say you don't answer? You're upset. You're living in Spain. You spoiled brat.
A lot of beeping there. You know, I must say, Peyton, you did a remarkably thorough job bleeping all the F-bombs.
God, that was terrifying to do. Oh, it was.
Our hands were on the dump button, just so you know, just in case Peyton missed one. But sounds like a lovely man to work for.
Oh, man. It's probably.
Does Rance leave you voicemails like that?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. Oh, twice a day. This guy. Man.
Did Robert De Niro never think to himself, I should probably not leave? That was almost a minute. A minute just tearing into my employee like that on a voicemail where it's recorded. He not no. These guys think they're so arrogant. They think they're so untouchable. And here we get lectured. We get lectured by people like Robert De Niro about what is appropriate and inappropriate and tolerance and just progressive enlightenment. And here's a guy just dropping F this, F that, you B, use the C word a few times as well. He's being sued for it. See?
He didn't learn a thing from Alec Baldwin. Remember when Alec Baldwin did this?
He did that to his daughter, though.
I know.
That was even worse. No, Alec Baldwin has not. I mean, he's still punching people in the streets, fighting over parking spaces.
Gotta love the Baldwins.
Jason Matera here, filling in for Jason Rance. When we come back, Nancy Pelosi gets surprisingly big pushback from an unlikely source about impeachment. That and a lot more once we return.